Thank you, Gary. Thank you for this opportunity for speak here with the title I'm giving today is the crop yield and water use efficiency response to climate variability. So I'm using the data from another part of the world. It's from the U.S. Southern Great Plains. You can see my colleagues include the Dr. Zhao was giving the another talk. He's in this talk too. So he's working with me in the U.S. now. So he is working on corn also. He is going to probably in the future will present more data in corn in our side in the U.S. So I'm changing the areas to the Southern Great Plains. I just look at the corn and wheat irrigated yield. Look at the climate variability in these two crops in the Southern Great Plains. I think many people already see this map. I'm showing two here is the, one is the Great Plains in North America map. The Great Plains is from the Canada Prairie provinces, until the Texas, that's the Great Plains. This area is very productive with the, traditionally the wheat, but we also have some corn there in the Great Plains, the Southern Great Plains. The Great, especially in the middle and south part of Great Plains is why the crop is so productive is because of this underground water Oglala aquifer. So we use the, this is our irrigation water came from for the central to south part of the Great Plains. That is our blood producers have to rely on this water for high productivity. Well, the Southern Great Plains, with the Dust Bowl era in 1930s, is because in this part of the world is because of the drought. With the Dust Bowl in 1930s. So before the early last century is because of the over cultivation of the land that caused the natural disaster. Human-made natural disaster. I think we still have the Dust Bowl in current time. This is 1930s, that's 2012. I think we still have this kind of thing, but we still produce lots of food. That is one thing, is one very important factor is the irrigation in the Southern Great Plains. So after the Dust Bowl era, so I think we learned a few very important lessons how to better manage our crop in Southern Great Plains. So for example, from the soil management, we have no-till or conservation tillage. The important is the straw mulch application is one of the important factors for reduced soil erosion and improve the soil water conservation. Also, if you look at last 50, 60 years, is a crop improvement, also have a lot of improvement in last few decades. Includes the genetic improvement, rotation, cropping system also is the pest management. We have better to manage the pests. Well, most importantly in this area is the water management. So we can better use the water from the underground water, the irrigation system. So that is the major improvement. I mean, last few decades in the Southern Great Plains, the result is very productive area in the world right now to produce food. Yeah, well, Texas Panhandle is part of the Southern Great Plains. You can see here is also, this is the food basket of the state of Texas. So all the majority of the more than 50% of the wheat, corn is from this area in the state of Texas. So also the sorghum is 20%, also this area also have the cattle production, as well as in recent years we have dairy and other animal. Dairy is a very rapidly increasing industry there. So all this, we need a lot of food production. So among the crops in the high plains, is corn is the the number one first irrigated crop. So this is a national corn map. Is without question the majority here in the upper is Midwest. That's the America's corn belt. But in Texas, we also produce lots of corn there. Also, is the we normally get probably on county level we can get 150 to 180 county level yield. Even some farmers even get 300, 400 bushels of yield in this area. So we have very high yield in Texas high plains. I think highest yield is not in the Midwest. It's somewhere in this panhandle of Texas. But we use lots of water. So the wheat, also the southern high plains is the, also is a major wheat, winter wheat production area. If you look at the this area is the central to southern high, Great Plains is probably around 50% of national winter wheat production. So that is also is a very important wheat production area. Well, for this study, my objective is we want to better understand the long-term yield performance in two irrigation crops, irrigation corn and irrigation wheat. So we also want to look at the yield and water use efficiency, how they respond to the climate variability over the years. So I pulled the research data from the 1970s to up to now, the irrigated corn in high plains. Also, I just simply look at the climate data from the NOAA website, look at the monthly maximum temperature and minimum temperature and monthly precipitation. We have some other data like relative humidity and the solar radiation, so that's what we, because of the time limit, I'm not going to talk about, I'm mainly talk about temperature and precipitation on the corn and wheat yield over the last 40 years. This figure shows the corn yield at Texas High Plains from early 1970s to the up to 2013. That's from our research plots. It's not production from not from farmers' field. You can see it's in last 40 years there is a linear relation increase in terms of the corn yield. So in 70s you probably have the anywhere from 8 to 10 tons per hectare. Right now we can get the up to 16 tons per hectare of corn yield. That's pretty well. In last 40 years the yield has been increased tremendously. However, if you break down these different years from different era, you see from 1970s to late 99, somewhere around 2000, the yield increased very significantly. This reason is both. It's because of both management as well as genetic improvement. The major management is from furrow irrigation convert to the center pivot and the drip irrigation. That the irrigation technology changing. As well, in the last 30, 40 years, the genetics also changing a lot. Both contributes the yield increase. But if you look at the from the somewhere around 2000 to up to now, the yield increase is very, is kind of less compared to the previous decade. Also, you see lots of variabilities here in last 15, 20 to 15 years. Thus, irrigated corn in our research plots, if you look at the water use efficiency, pretty much in the last 40 years, we improved the water use efficiency. So the main reason to increase the water use efficiency is we increase the yield. Over the years, I didn't show the seasonal evapotranspiration. Seasonal ET in last 40 years is the downward trend, which means in 1970s, we probably total seasonal ET evapotranspiration is around 800 to 900 millimeters. But right now, we can get this yield with 700, even 600, 650 millimeters of the evapotranspiration. That also is because of technology changing in the last 40 years. We are better to, I think we have a better management to reduce the soil evaporation. That's the reason. It doesn't mean the corn doesn't need the water. We are better use the water for corn production. Well, the irrigated wheat is kind of a, when I analyzed data, it kind of surprised me. From 1970s to up to somewhere around 1999, the irrigated yield is also significantly increased. However, starting somewhere around 2000 to up to last 2 years, the irrigated yield is in our research plots is decreasing. So especially if you look at these 2 years, it's 2011, 2012, that's 2 years historic drought. So that skews the data here. But the overall, you still can see a downward trend in terms of irrigated wheat yield. So that's kind of the surprise me. You have something there with the irrigated wheat. So in terms of water use efficiency of wheat in the high plains, southern Great Plains, the water use efficiency of irrigated wheat is once you get a very high yield in wheat, your water use efficiency is. It's not linearly increased. It's kind of it's stable here. Even have the downward trend. So this is lost plateau of China. It's a linear increase. As the yield increase, the water use efficiency increase. But the southern plains, you cannot get the highest water use efficiency with highest yield. Because it's because of harsh environment in the winter wheat growing. Well, let's look at the maximum and minimum temperature in last 40 years. This is a corn growing season. This is wheat growing season. The corn growing season, I'm using the month from May to October. That's the corn growing season. The wheat growing season is from October to June. That's the a little bit longer season. However, if for both corn and wheat, if you see in last 40 years, every 10 years the maximum temperature during the average growing season maximum temperature increased 0.4 degrees Celsius every 10 years. The same thing with the wheat is also about the 0.04 degrees Celsius. In terms of minimum temperatures, every 10 years is increased 0.2 degrees Celsius every 10 years in both wheat and corn growing season. Well, the precipitation, seasonal precipitation, I think they didn't change much over the last 40 years, but it's pretty much up and down. However, if you look at the wheat growing season, after 1999, we have many years is the kind of way below average of the seasonal rainfall. So that is could be the part of the reason of the decreased yield in irrigated wheat. Look at the relationship of the corn yield and temperature. We did the regression analysis. I only used the data from 1997 to 2007 with this research and production demonstration field. In these 10 years, the irrigated yield is linearly decreased with the August maximum temperature, as well as the mean maximum temperature, which means from these 10 years, the summer heat is really hurt our irrigated corn yield. That is the most significant. For other months, you really don't see much significance, but there is a trend there. So in terms of wheat, irrigated wheat, from 1999 to 2012. So we use the regression is the minimum, maximum temperature, the seasonal mean, as well as the later growing season from March to June. You can see is the when the seasonal mean maximum temperature decreased, the yield decreased. The same thing is from March to June, it decreased more significantly during the active winter wheat growing season. So that is from this, from 99 to 2012, this year is the warm temperature from March to June is really is hurt our winter wheat, irrigated winter wheat yield. So look at the precipitation. Seasonal precipitation with yield. Also, for I think when we do the regression analysis with the seasonal precipitation with corn yield, I don't see much relationships there between the precipitation and corn yield. But the wheat grown season precipitation is linearly increased, have a very good relationship with the irrigated corn or wheat yield, which means our irrigated wheat also relate on the seasonal precipitation. I think the part of the reason is normally the producers start irrigating in the springtime. They normally don't, they just plant there in probably October or November, then they will leave there, they won't start irrigating until the springtime. So that's pretty much the summarize the our analysis is what we found is you see last 40 years the irrigated corn wheat yield there is an increased trend but the corn yield increased slowly and wheat yield even decreased from the late 1980s to current time. So this warm temperature is really something is kind of contributes lower yield in the last 15 to 20 years. So also for the irrigated wheat, also the low seasonal precipitation, if you have a less rainfall, you probably also have the yield. So that's pretty much what we done the analysis so far. I think we probably in the future will look at other factors is like humidity, solar radiation, to see how these factors affect the irrigation corn and wheat yield. So I will stop here for questions. I've been talking with the our wheat breeder, also Doug Stewart, and we will have another talk with the winter wheat on dryland winter wheat. I think one thing is probably if we plant, sometime we planted wheat late in last 10 years. I don't know, it's late planting. I think early heading may not be a good thing. But I think certainly, if you look at the breeding efforts, is how to increase the grain filling duration. That's probably what, that will be one of the strategies. But we still don't know how we are going to improve the wheat yield, to increase the wheat yield with this kind of warm temperature. So I think if you live in Amarillo, well, you live there long enough. Right now, every year we have a warm March, April is pretty warm. I think in the irrigated wheat, well, I think normally we fertilize our field based on soil testing. I don't see any fertility affect the yield. I think we have also the soil there, we have very high organic matter. Normally we have 1 to 1.5 in some soils have 2% of soil organic matter. I don't think the fertility is something because we have the picture. We never see the nitrogen shortage in our irrigated field. So in this area, the only thing is the water stress, drought stress is most significant. This factor is pretty much dwarfed any other factors there.